In this episode of Football 301, from the Venetian here in Las Vegas, Matt Harmon and Charles McDonald join me for the biggest gambles that teams are taking this NFL season. Plus, Brian Robinson to 49ers trade news. Very fun show in person. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome back to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice, here from the beautiful Venetian here in Las Vegas. I am joined, as always, but this time in person, by my guys, Matt Harmon, Charles McDonald, came all the way here from the East Coast to join me in 110 degree heat. How you guys doing? You guys surviving?
No.
Matt? No, already? I know you guys came. You know, the Ubers took a second, maybe a little miscommunications, yeah. But yeah. How you guys doing, Matt?
Nate, it was 65 degrees when I left New York City. And when I walked off the plane, I was wearing a sweatshirt in 110 degree weather. A 55 degree jump. And so I'm struggling.
You landed at like 7 p.m. too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't really cool down because I was outside around like midnight and it was still 100 plus degrees.
Legitimately came at a record high heat day yesterday.
Terrific.
So it's supposed to cool down. Nice balmy 104 today. Matt, how about you? How was your trip in?
It was good. No issues in the Charlotte airport this time. No issues to report. So right. Shout out to Charlotte. Easy trip out here. But yeah, I know you just had like a child and everything, but it was a little selfish for you to make this whole company event right here where right. you I'm live.
Not, they built a studio and everything. Yeah. Just because I live here. I know. It's great. There's no tie-ins at all.
Must
no.
be nice to be Nate Tice.
It's, yeah. I know. Nice little 15-minute commute for me this morning. It was pretty nice. Nice little dead period at 8 a.m. Got to see some creatures walking on the strip.
Oh, my God, yeah.
At 8 a.m., some rough nights I saw some people having that are just turning into rough mornings.
My favorite ironic thing about Vegas, and this is not my favorite, I love to get up and go to the gym in the morning and like inhale cigarette smoke as yeah. I'm walking in there. Only really time that ever happens.
Just walk by a couple craps tables as you yeah. get this.
Like, oh, I saw you there last night. You're still here.
You're yet to move. But no, like I said, we are here at the Venetian. It's such a great spot. Really cool studio here inside their poker room that we'll be doing this show from. Today, we're going to be talking about, because it's Vegas, the biggest gambles NFL teams are taking in the NFL this year, whether it's a player, some injuries that they're kind of moving aside, maybe they're buying in to somebody, another little poker term there, a little yeah. gambling term, buying in there. So hopefully nothing comes up bad for them, but we'll be talking about three teams each. But before I get into that, we're going to check out, I want to make sure that we get this message across. Check us out on the Yahoo Sports Network, our brand new streaming TV channel. Yahoo Sports Network is available to stream on leading fast services. It's also streaming live 24/7 on yahoosports.tv, where you can catch all the shows on your phone or on your browser. So please make sure to check that out. As you see on the YouTube show, see my little ugly mug up there. But before we get into those three gambles, we got a little news. Breakout. It's kind of nice. We got a little TV right here so we can check see the breaking news before we started. Brian Robinson, running back from the Washington Commanders, traded to the 49ers because Adam Peters only knows one other team, the San Francisco 49ers. Apparently they traded to. The 49ers, you know, are just, I mean, decimated right now. It's so many offensive positions. I mean, receiver room, everybody behind Christian McCaffrey. It's not like Christian McCaffrey is the beacon of health.
Yeah, right.
So Brian Robinson gets traded, something that we maybe, you know, been reading the tea leaves on. Matt, what do you think about this? What does it mean for the 49ers? And what are you feeling about that running back room?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely needed some bodies back there. I've seen a few people make the joke that Christian McCaffrey is like absorbing the life force of the other running backs just so that he can stay healthy. I yep. think that it may be what's happening here. But I mean, man, the Commanders could not get rid of Brian Robinson fast
so
enough.
Weird.
It's a little bizarre. And I've got a Commanders thing to talk about in terms of gambles here. So some of this will tie in there. But yeah, it's bizarre that they were just so eager. And look, Brian Robinson, he's a fine running back. He's replaced. I think he's
all average team.
Yeah.
He's perfect.
Yeah, right. That's right. Team. Exactly.
He's dead center.
Dead center. Like he's the definition of a replacement level player at a replacement position.
Yep.
That being said, they've agreed to like take on some of his salary. Yes. He's on a rookie contract. Like again, they just could not get rid of this guy fast enough, which feels a little bit bizarre. Maybe there's more to the story. Also, in fairness, too, the Commanders' running backs down the stretch last year were – it was not a productive running back run game. From, like, week 14 on, they were a bottom five team in terms of, like, just their pure running back metrics. So I get that, but it's not as if they made some monster addition at the position this year either. They have a set –
fantasy Twitter is going to get you.
I know. Everybody's excited about Bill Kroski, Merritt. They're talking
about Bill.
Just Bill. Just Bill. Yeah.
Just Bill.
I can't get the message across. Are we just supposed to call him Bill?
I'm calling him Bill.
Okay, well, they've got Bill, which, by the way, if you've never like heard of this guy because he was a seventh round rookie, you might not have heard of him. You're like, who the hell is Bill? Yeah. But anyways, they got Bill. They're talking up Chris Rodriguez, and Austin Ekeler, of course, is still there. Like, he's got a role for them as well. But it's not as if, yeah, they had this monster running back they added. So just feels a little bizarre, but I'm sure there's more to this story.
Yeah, like Matt's ending there. Charles, are you feeling okay about where the Commanders are sitting? Letting this go?
Really.
I know it's all average. We all are in agreement. It's kind of middle back. So
they're okay because they have Jaden Daniels. Right. You know, that's their son, the orbit of the offense. But like, to me, when I look at Austin Ekeler and what I've seen from Bill, Jacory, Kroski, Merritt in the preseason, it seems like Brian Robinson would be the perfect third guy to kind of pair with them.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Because it's a small running back room now. It's a light running back room. I just can't imagine that they'll be like super proficient running between the tackles, which is like you upgrade your offensive line to be a little bit more physical. I just get a little confused. Maybe Matt said maybe something else happened here because I don't really get why they were such a rush to move on. Because he seemed like a guy you just let him walk at the end of his contract and that's that.
Right.
Keep it rolling. But now they're in with Austin Ekeler and Bill. So.
They are talking up Rodriguez for whatever it's worth.
Right.
Like, but he's got 86 career carries. Okay. You know,
he's a hammerhead.
4.9. He is 4.9 yards per carry. But I mean, still,
I like Rodriguez coming out. But they draft him right where his range is. I'm not saying like, oh, he should have been drafted in the third round, second round. He's a hammerhead. So maybe that's what they think. It's like, okay, this offense needs a hammerhead.
They need a banger.
They need a guy that can just plow ahead, get those 4 or 5 yards. And like when this offense was in Arizona, Cliff Kingsbury's offense, James Conner was great in this offense because everybody was worried about spreading out. So I always thought those were the best backs. So that's why I was like, oh, that's why Robinson looked good for about 6 weeks, last year, 4 weeks, whenever it kind of tailed off. But that's why I was like, yeah, I like Rodriguez. Okay, I guess, but it's a lot of betting on Bill, who did look like nice in the preseason. But it's not a lot that we're betting on here.
Yeah.
And also, it's a guy, is he going to be outside of tackles guy along with Ekeler, who's a nice little kind of receiving back? And his skill set's not exactly short yardage or anything. So it's just a curious decision. They must just really like the guys they have. Bill, to me, is all I got to see in the regular season. That's all I'm feeling on it. Preseason Bengals defense is one thing, but we'll see.
Right.
We'll see going from there.
Hey, that was 2s versus 1. That's
very true. I know. And right before that, I'd been like bashing the Bengals defense. So it was like, then they go on national TV and I'm like, oh boy. Okay. Yes. I told you guys. Yeah. So interesting. I understand why the 49ers did it totally. Because they need someone to eat touches. Commanders is just kind of like, are you guys sure? I trust Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach. I trust some of the stuff they're doing, but it was just a curious decision for them. All right, let's get into the main course here for this episode here in Vegas. The biggest gambles teams are taking this season. Just kind of mentioned one with the Commanders, so might as well just segue right into it. Matt, kind of a little spoilers there. What was your first biggest gamble that an NFL team is taking this season?
Yeah, it's like Charles said, my biggest gamble here that the Commanders are taking is like Jaden Daniels. That's all that matters. Because when you look at the rest of this offensive depth chart, and actually in the defense too, it's the oldest team in the NFL, which is weird because you think they're this new regime, they're on the come up, second year quarterback. But they've surrounded Jaden Daniels with a lot of veterans, which to be fair, worked out really well for them last year. But like kind of putting aside the defense for a second, which we can get into, you just look at the offense their best player besides Jaden Daniels is Terry McLaurin. I guess Laremy Tunsil too, depending on how you feel about him coming off of down year last year. And Terry McLaurin's still not in camp. He's still not practicing with the team, which the longer that goes, the more I hate it and the more uncomfortable you have to get. Like, we just saw this stuff last year with not just Brandon Ayuk and a very serious example of it, but also CeeDee Lamb too. Like, that deal took forever to get done. And Lamb even talked about it. Like, I've got history with Dak Prescott, but it still took us a minute to get back going there. Obviously, Ayuk never really got going because he tore the ACL. What if Terry McLaurin comes out and he starts slow or has a down season? The rest of this receiver depth chart, it stinks. It's not good. I've listened to like other NFL people say, well, their second outside receiver is Noah Brown, but he's banged up right now. I'm like, Noah Brown's like not even a needle mover at all. He's like, he should be your fourth or fifth.
They should be trading for Tyler Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Another guy. It's like, what are we talking about here? So Jalen Lane is a fourth round rookie that they like, and kind of the Cliff Kingsbury horizontal raid stuff. But to me, this is, when you're that surprise team from last year, you should be doing everything possible to stave off regression. And I feel like Washington is leaning into just, hey, Jaden, like, we've got one of the guys, we've got an elite quarterback, and that's all that matters. And maybe it is, but I think we can acknowledge it, that it is a gamble, certainly on offense. And then again, on defense, like, we signed Von Miller. We overpaid Javon Kinlaw.
Starting Von Miller.
Yeah, like, they're just starting Von Miller. Yeah. So they're counting on a lot of older guys, again, trying to stave off age-based regression. It's a lot. It's a tight wire act that they're doing.
It is. Charles, you agree with kind of Matt's assessment of Washington?
I agree 100%. And it's just, to me, it's weird some of the moves that they made, right? Because I think you can say, At least from the start, when they traded for Laremy Tunsil, I was like, okay, that's how you kind of stave off regression.
Yep.
Let's upgrade the offensive line.
Draft Connerly.
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah, good job. But then, like, why are you swapping out, like, John Allen for Javon Kinlaw?
Yeah.
Or bringing in Von Miller, you know, Bobby Wagner. I don't think he's a plus star anymore.
No, not
even average anymore. Yeah. I know he's still getting the accolades, but he's a big reason, like, why they give up big chunks of plays at times. So I don't really understand what the plan here, besides, you know, you get to, like, week four and it's like, Jaden, save us.
Right.
Please save us. And the Terry
McLaurin. Zach Ertz, they just brought, like, he's just starting tight end again.
He's 2025, yes. Bro.
Who was kind of moving around teams and free agents.
He was, like, watching Arizona. And,
anybody could sign their trade for
him. And again, like, all these older guys had nice years for them last year, but
they brought
were another year, you know, into their careers. Even Deebo Samuel. I mean, Deebo was not a plus player for the Niners last year. And even before he got pneumonia, that's the common talking point. Like, oh, he got pneumonia.
Before, after,
even at the beginning of the season, he's never been a good man coverage receiver, but he is the fourth worst success rate versus man coverage I've ever charted last year. So he definitely is still, I think, can be useful in the particular ways that he is useful, but he's definitely on that very serious decline phase of his career.
It is interesting that they found themselves in the spot where they can't get this deal done with Terry after even last year. Like, it was the only thing they had.
It felt pretty, like,
especially in the red zone.
Like, it wrote itself almost.
Yeah.
Like,
it gives you just, and again, I'm mostly, like, just squinting at this. I'm not saying, like, oh, they're going to have a bad season or anything like that, but it does make me feel a little bit weird about this front office and, like, group of decision makers too, because this is a guy that has been such a good soldier, like, for this franchise through some really tumultuous times. And I realize you'd don't always want to pay for the past. You want to pay for the future, but what's the message that you're sending to the rest of the team? Like,
the commander, like, the guy that's been on this roster, this guy,
like, I was saying,
and he's still good.
And he's still good.
He's best season ever.
And they keep bringing up, like, oh, he's 30, but, like, I realize he came into the league older and maybe he will start to decline sooner than some of these other guys, but he's been a better player than DK Metcalf the last 2 years, who just got, and to be fair, I think DK getting overpaid by the Steelers kind of screwed this whole thing up.
It did.
But they're from the same draft class. Yeah. Like, DK was younger entering the league. He's a bit more of a physical specimen, but you think that Terry's game should age pretty well. And again, if he's not there, or he's not himself, we're talking about Noah Brown, KJ Osborne, like, Michael Gallup coming out of retirement, Luke McCaffrey, like, I don't know. It's a lot.
They gave Deebo a jet sweep on the first play. So that'll fix all of it. Yeah. It was I formation, under center, jet sweep that looked nothing else like anything they do. So, Charles, we'll move on to you, which is fitting, the shirt that you have on today.
I don't know who made this for me.
They gamed it up for you. It's sweet. Right. Yeah, it's really cute. Yeah, we got some great merch on today.
Homage, baby. Shout it out.
Homage. Thank you for the gear. This is great. I got my Mariner shirt. Charles, what's your first biggest gamble an NFL team has taken this season? It's kind of fitting.
I think the Falcons not playing Michael Penix in the preseason is a pretty big gamble. So this is two preseasons in a row. Well, no, he played for
against Miami last year. Like,
A drive or two against Miami last year. And then that was it.
I think so. Preseason. That was it. They wrapped him up.
And then he was on ice until the Kirk Cousins things fell apart. So he has 3.5 like little bits of NFL action under his belt. And they need him to be good this year.
Yeah.
I don't really understand why you wouldn't want to see him play in, like, situations where there are no consequences. You know, if you go out there and you throw a pick, just see where he's at against, you know, live reps. I saw Bryce Young play in the preseason. I saw Caleb Williams play in the preseason. I saw Drake May play in the preseason.
Knicks, Mahomes.
I saw Jaden Daniels.
I've
seen Joe Burrow. I've seen Mahomes. Yep. I've seen everyone. I don't get why they're hiding
everyone
him.
But Matthew Stafford. Where did Raheem Morris come from? That he keeps telling everybody that he came from.
Matthew Stafford, my brother, and fractured back.
Wait, have you gotten in the immortal chamber yet, buddy?
No, that's when you're about to die, I think.
Well, you can finance it for a lowly $3,000 a month. So.
$3,000 a month to not get better. It's amazing. I don't really get what they're doing here. I guess I'm a little taken aback by the confidence they have in everything.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is essentially a borderline rookie quarterback. You almost sat the entirety of last year. I know everyone else is coming back on the offense. Like, I don't need to see Bijan Robinson play or anything like that, but I would like to just see where he's at coming into the season. Because I feel like they're selling people something that isn't here right now in terms of the talent they've collected, where the defense is, where the offense is. And because of that, I get a little bit worried this season that they won't just put him in front of us. You know, if you can tell us everything's good, but I still like to see it with my own eyes.
Especially a guy like him that's going to be a high wire act as a player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just using that, he's going to be a, I wouldn't say boom bust, but he's going to try some stuff. Like, so it's almost one of these things. Like you said, it's like, all right, how this works in practice. Is this whole shot going to work against, okay, even twos? You know, like Mahomes tries stuff in the preseason. He's goofing off out there. They're working some formation stuff and everything. And then now, they lost their right tackle, Caleb McGarry, to an injury. And then who's even starting a right tackle now? It's what's his face? They used to start for the Broncos.
Elijah Wilkinson.
He was
the third string.
Storm Norton got hurt. And Storm Norton was already their backup, which is already scary.
Who they need to improve upon anyways.
Yes. So. And Caleb McGarry, who they signed a little short extension. I mean, you got to remember, this is a lefty quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's his blind side. Right, I know they're going to do play action, do all this stuff. But yeah, that's just. Yeah, it's just with the Falcons stuff. It's just a lot more questions than I think I have definitive answers with them.
They're another team that, like you said, we don't need to see Bijan Robinson. We don't need to see Drake London, but Darnell Mooney is also banged up right now too. Yeah. And like they're very cagey about when he's supposed to return, and they didn't add like anything on offense. No, like, yeah, let's get a third receiver in here who can maybe be a needle mover. They're another team. I think they dovetail well with the Commanders where it's like, there's a lot of confidence bordering on maybe arrogance in the way that they're, and again,
delusion, maybe.
Maybe delusion. Somewhere guys, between those three words.
Raheem Morris, Jeff Ulbrich, defense coordinator for the Falcons, Dan Quinn, they're all on the same Falcons staff back in the day. And this is what they're all about.
Yeah.
It's confidence and going like, and they do get guys. I love to play for these guys. Like, don't get me wrong. It's for me now as an analyst watching the team building. I'm like, help yourselves out. Like, I love the energy you guys are bringing, but just help yourselves out. Like, you don't always have to act like you're the smartest guys in the room or, our energy is going to make this 70 overall guy an 85 because we just hype him up. It's like he's gonna be a 72 now.
You guys
started like 80 and get him up. That's gonna be a little bit easier.
And I'm pretty high on this Falcons offense. I think it's gonna be really fun. Like, I think Drake Lund's gonna have a massive season. I think
John Ron's
I think generally I'm more optimistic than not on Penix, but it's interesting how confident they are in it.
They're sending, and they don't have a first round pick next year. So I thought the Rams might trade it to get Tanner McKee, but that seems done. But all right, I'll go on to my biggest gamble or my first one. It's the Texans, which I think is an interesting point because I think a lot of us want the Texans to kind of make that next leap into contendership. Mm-hmm. All I just want to say is that's the O-line. That's we're doing this. All right. That's what we're doing. Okay. There's not another move. Okay. There's not anything else right now. The projected starters or Ariante Ursary from Minnesota, their second-round pick, who I do like and has had a nice preseason. It's still a second-round pick. Rookie left tackle. That is scary. Lakin Tomlinson, who I believe finished third last year in pressures allowed by a guard. Jake Andrews, who actually has looked okay this preseason. I will give him that. Ed Ingram, who I think was one of the worst guards in the NFL last year when he started for the Vikings. And then Tyus Howard, who I do want to give some flowers to. He's okay now. He's like a solid player now that can play guard, can play tackle.
On the field.
Yes. Yeah, right. Would he have been a contender for our all average team? Or is
he's
he
a little bit better.
Yeah, right. But that's the thing is, I would say if I were a betting man, which I am, he's their best offensive lineman. So your B-minus probably always hurt right tackle is your best offensive lineman. This is exactly what I'm talking about here. Yeah. It's like, this is very scary. It's a big gamble. Anyone that sees their defense, I think we all in agreement that that could be a top five unit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The offense has weapons. They have a quarterback that's getting a lot of control of the offense. Steven Ruiz from The Ringer did a great piece. It's something we've talked about this summer. Excited to see CJ Stroud have more control of the offense, which should help the offensive line. because he can just go, hey, dummies, go this way.
Right.
All right. Help me out because I'll get rid of the ball. It does help. It really does. When you're all on the same page, and even if you're wrong, at least you're on the same page.
Right.
So I am encouraged by that, but this is, it's just, it's risky.
Yeah.
It's a leap of faith, especially for a team that I think should have contendership aspirations. And I know it's a tough AFC, but maybe I'm being a little too hard on it, but I don't think I am.
Is it a worse line than last year?
Well, like
no, but the coach is gone. They're actually going the right direction this time, so it's actually nice.
I look at this and say, man, I covered Lakin Tomlinson with the Jets like 6 years ago, and it wasn't all that pretty.
No,
then
he was only good in San Francisco because he had the Shanahan bump.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
That was it.
Which it's funny you put the screenshot of like the projected starters, and you know this is. Maybe stupid analysis, but you look at the three teams where these new interior guys are coming from. Last year, Seattle, Lakin Tomlinson. Last year, New England, Jake Andrews.
Yeah.
Last year, Minnesota, Ed Ingram. All three of those teams, like, they got to get way better on the interior this year. And now they're all just walking right into starting gigs here in Houston.
It's such a great point. Yeah, Seattle drafted a first-round guard. They said, never again.
No, we're not doing that again.
The Patriots, third-round center, first-round left tackle. Never again. Yeah, then the Vikings.
Vikings-round guard. Designs, never money, again. Draft picks, the whole deal. It is a gamble, I think, on Stroud taking more ownership of the offense, like we talked about in the AFC South preview, and also just this, that the scheme was the scheme and like culture issues were the problem in the room last year.
It was very sloppy, and so if you're already bad and you're going in with not the guys have no idea which direction they're going, it's going to be a lot, very, very hard. All right, we are going to take our first break, and then we're going to come back with a few more of our gambles the NFL teams are taking this season. All right, we are back with a few more of the biggest gambles NFL teams are taking this season. Charles, I'm going to let you take this section first.
Okay.
What's your next biggest gamble?
First, I need to shout out producer Collins, who corrected me before the show started, because I wrote that the Cowboys didn't add to the front seven, but they did add... little something, something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm shocked Colin had a well actually when it came to the Cowboys.
So I am mending my point to the Cowboys not adding enough.
Oh, there we go. Because
frankly, I don't see anything that they've acquired that would prevent, let's say, the Baltimore Ravens running for like 200 yards against them like they did last year. Or where they just get into these situations where they just get absolutely bludgeoned by the opposing team's run game. Because even like Micah Parsons, he's all world, future first ballot Hall of Fame, but he's like 245, 250. Yep. So sometimes against heavier offensive linemen or double teams, he can get pushed off the ball a little bit. And that's your best player. And he also might be your strongest player. And that includes defensive tackles too. Because when you look at Mozzie Smith,
him.
He's turned out to be just nothing.
Yeah, he might not make the team.
He was running with the twos. He's out there.
He's not been a good player.
If it wasn't for contract, I think he would be cut for sure. Who was the Odighizuwa, the defensive tackle, who's a solid player, but like the reason why he's good is also the reason why he's bad.
Yep.
I don't think they did really enough of anything to prevent the same fate happening again. I mean, maybe it's not one of the worst rush defense in the NFL or one of the worst rush defense in NFL history. But it's going to be so bad that it's still an Achilles heel. And when you look at how this team is built, they have a pass rusher and they have DBs that take chances on the ball. So they need leads, which Dak and the Cowboys offense could probably give them. But this is a tough way to play football when you're that light up front and you're just going to get run over for 5-6 yards every single running play.
And it's a defensive structure scheme that's sound. But it needs dudes to make plays.
Yeah.
So like, I got Micah Parsons, but then I need more. I need other guys on the back end, especially that can like actually clamp down if we're going to just run zone. You need guys that can make plays and actually cover guys too. Otherwise, it's just going to be gashes.
Yeah.
That's what it might.
I mean, Kyir Elam is probably going to start a corner
because
Trayvon Diggs is coming off an injury. So it's like, that's the thing. You wrote the front seven. I mean, the back end might be in worse shape, honestly.
I don't think those guys will tackle anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But it's interesting with Dallas, right, where I'm very excited about the passing game. I'm very excited about the interior of the offensive line. Everything else is kind of a rather big question mark at this point. And then you've got Jerry Jones on a media tour about this whole thing's a scam. It's the biggest scam of all time.
I'm telling you, Jerry Jones cannot wait until they play the Eagles Thursday night opening game. He cannot wait until 24 hours before when they sign that deal and he gets to walk in to Lincoln Financial and go, him and Micah Parsons, and all they're doing is walking Micah, Jerry,
yeah.
Nothing about the Eagles, raising a band. That's what I'm saying.
It's all a scam.
He's a showman.
As soon as he, it was always a scam. It was always obvious it was a scam. But then when he's doing a damn interview with Stephen A. Smith of all people,
Oh my God, now we're
officially scamming.
But Jerry can never say again. I'm not even sure if he would say it, but he can't say at any point that he cares more about winning than this stuff.
I don't think, I
think not at this point. Because you would sign Micah last year.
I've heard stories about when something would happen with the Dallas, some players that I know there, when something happened with the Cowboys or, you know, players want to stand out or hold off. Jerry came in and spoke to the team one time. You know, some stuff was going on in real life. And he just goes, like, boys, when you play a football game, this is how much money I make. Or this is how much money we make. This is how much money I make. This is how much money you make. Keep playing football games. And then that's all he did. So if you want to know where Jerry is coming from, it's always about the pie chart with all the money in it. And so that's always just stood out to me with him. But all right, Matt, let's move on to your next one. Kicking on over to the AFC, defending AFC champions, they had two Super Bowls before that. But where's your concern lie? Or where's your gamble lie with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, this isn't so much of a concern, but I think we should acknowledge it as a gamble. I feel like the Chiefs are walking into this year and just, you know, counting on rookie left tackle Josh Simmons just being like a top 12-10 starter at the position. And I mean, I think it could happen because we all agree, like, what Josh Simmons was putting on film before his injury last year was awesome.
Very
good. Maybe top 10 pick worthy. But, you know, I had this realization as I was writing up a piece about Rashee Rice that I think that because his suspension now is probably going to come in the middle of the year as opposed to the first four games. One of the things that, like, the best ball bros when they're drafting in fantasy were, like, coping about the Rashee Rice suspension. Like, well, if he's suspended the first 4 weeks, like, that might be good because, hey, then he's going to be, you know, he'll be getting back healthy then. So, but now he's going to play the first four weeks.
Is it good to be suspended?
It's actually good to be suspended, yes. I did say this was cope. But anyways, like, I realized at the same time there, because my pushback is, like, you just don't know when that guy's going to be healthy because he's, like, you can be practicing and participating. It's the Tank Dell thing we talked about. You can be practicing and participating all throughout the course of the offseason. That doesn't mean that you're just going to – you might have Rashee Rice on the back of your jersey. You don't know when he's going to be that guy. And I'm like, damn, I guess you could say the same thing about Josh Simmons, right? Like, yeah, he's been crushing in camp. He's been active the whole time. But maybe he's 80%,
right?
85% of what he could be at his peak. And we're still talking about a rookie left tackle. So – because I do think if he's in there and he's, like, locking it down, I think – you're just unlocking more things there. You know, Xavier Worthy, like, if Mahomes just has an extra half second, are they a little bit more on the same page down the field? Like, some of those short misses that were there, the close misses for him, those become hits. I can be open to that. But again, we're counting on Simmons just locking that left tackle position down. I think we should acknowledge it is a little bit of a gamble.
If Charles, if hypothetically Simmons is, like, above average as a rookie, and Kingsley Suamata is just even average, just fine. You know,
that's the one that
if they are actually just fine starters, better than what they had last year, is we had the Chiefs, all of us actually, it was really funny. Chiefs, that's the 10th offense. Are they rising up in your rankings too?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're fine. Like, how high do you think they hit up there?
If they were 10th last year with that. Right. With that. Because I remember we last year when we were talking about their offensive start of the season, like, oh yeah, you know, success rate is so high. And then I think, like, midseason, I was like, okay, you're going to get 3 yards every single play.
Right.
That's what this is. And then
no explosive runs until week 14 or something. It was crazy. Yeah. It was
dead last on explosive play rate last year. Dead last. Kansas City Chiefs.
Patrick and they were still by EPM play success rate, top 10 offense. Yep. Shout out Patrick Mahomes. I mean, yes. Just about every other quarterback.
Efficient Patrick Mahomes.
Most underrated player in the NFL. I got people asking me, what happened to his passing yards? I'm like, you're looking at the wrong thing, man. Yeah. Look at the game.
Play.
He's still the best quarterback in the league. But if those guys are fine, like, let's say, you know, Josh Simmons has a B-plus year. Kingsley has a C-plus year. Probably like a top six offense.
Yeah.
Because you have Mahomes, and it really has become that simple. Because, I mean, how many quarterbacks would you put there last year that could take them to even the playoffs?
No, there's only a couple.
Right.
Yeah.
The guys that win MVPs.
Yeah, the guys that win MVPs, exactly.
So if those guys are good, that's a big boost for their offense, even with, you know, some of the personnel issues. I think they still have a running back and receiver. So
I know. I thought they might be a Robinson trade candidate as well, or somebody, at least for the running back. But yeah, it's the Chiefs are just the Chiefs. It's just so hard. They're so hard to talk about because it's like, yeah, they have questions, but they figure it out. Like, they're always the best team to look at after the bye week too, like where they make so many changes on offense, defense, personnel, all that stuff. So it's like, you got to respect them. And if it does work, you know, so it's almost like a floor because they have the dude at quarterback, I think. All right, I'll move on to my biggest gamble, which shouldn't be a real big shock. I already even hinted at it. It's the Rams. We got Matthew Stafford's back, which apparently is fine. We're good to go. He's practicing and like I can do no limitations after it was like no one. I mean, there's rumors that it's like Paul McCarthy's dead kind of thing. That's been a stand in. I don't know if you guys know that reference.
Yes. But I've seen the tweets.
You've heard of the Beatles.
Hashtag Stafford died weeks ago. Yeah, that is a real hashtag on Twitter.
Yeah, but no, outrageous. They think people have a stand in for Matthew Stafford right now. That it's actually somebody else standing in for him. But
so is it like we need to see him hold up today's newspaper like
it's a Reddit AMA?
Right.
So that's where we're at with the Rams. That sounds like a gamble to me where people have conspiracies that it's a fake quarterback out there.
It's a huge gamble.
Yeah. And also, I just got to throw this in. It's Alaric Jackson, their left tackle, has blood clots. That's serious. That's a very serious thing. It could be a year-long thing. I think they say it's positive, at least the last week.
Of course they're saying it's positive.
I know, but it's the Rams.
When's Sean McVay ever been like, this is going to go really
poorly? This is the same coach that will like change his starting center the day before like week one. Like everything's in flux with the Rams. And it's McVay. I mean, I don't know how to describe him. But the Rams, just everything. Because I don't really trust we haven't done the NFC West pod yet. Right? I think that's going to be the last preview pod. Mm-hmm. Don't really trust the defense. Like I don't. The offense is what's going to make this thing go. And I want that thing looking pristine. Yeah. I don't want questions about the left tackle and the quarterback when I'm talking about this team being a top five offense. So just that's, I think that's a very, very risky thing.
It's very risky.
Yeah.
So I've been reading about Stafford's back injury. We literally have the same
injury,
like aggravated disc in the back. I've got stuff going on all of my leg with the nerve issues and stuff. And when he says, I feel fine, I actually believe him because there are days where you feel totally 100% fine. But you don't know how you're going to feel tomorrow.
Yeah.
You don't know the next time you go and pick up the dish out of the dishwasher, it's going to pop, or you throw a football, it's going to mess
up. Or your backup left tackle misses an edge rusher.
Right. Yeah. And then you're in the back. Here's Nick Bosa screaming after you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So still in the same division.
So, like at Stafford, he can say he feels fine today, but ultimately it doesn't matter. Yeah, like, are you going to be able to make it through 17 games of this rigor?
And they want to go 20. They want to make a run. So.
The question's not like, will he be out there in week one? The question is he going to be out there in week 15, 16, 17, et cetera, et cetera? I will say, I don't think I said it on this show, and it's hard to say because I'm doing so many damn podcasts at this point. But I said it on a show recently. It's getting a little uncomfortable how much this is reminding me of the 2022 season for the Rams. You know, they're coming in with a lot of expectations. Obviously, the year before that, they won the Super Bowl.
So you can make fun of Allen Robinson.
It's so I can make an excuse for Allen Robinson, actually.
Oh, were you bullish on that one? Yeah. Oh, I thought I was thinking
that's
crazy.
Why we're here right now.
No, but I mean, like, again, if you think about that season, you're coming in here, and because you mentioned Allen Robinson, he was getting like all that training camp hype, like, he looks so good. And people just kind of gloss over the fact that it was the backup quarterback throwing him to him that entire camp, because that was when Stafford was dealing with the elbow thing. Right. And then you come in, and I mean, obviously Robinson had clearly declined as a player. That was part of he was a big part of the problem there. But also, those two guys is like we're reading off different sheets of music there. And Davante Adams and Matthew Stafford probably have barely thrown together at this point. So it's like a new very similar things, different characters, but you're adding a veteran X receiver that doesn't have a lot of familiarity with the quarterback, and they've missed this big chunk of time together. You've got questions on the offensive line. Same thing that happened in 2022, and Stafford is like a health question. Yeah. So, and that's the thing with the Rams. You don't have to go that far back to get to an implosion season, and I'm hoping that that's not the case. But again, it does. It reminds me a little bit of that.
I had I don't know if someone replied to me or Assad. Someone said, "Well, you respect Sean McVay so much. Can he get it going with Jimmy G?" And then said, "Well, yeah, they could be fine.
Define get it going.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah, they could be fine. But like, I know what the Jimmy G experience is. He's not going to push the ball. He's not going to try stuff. And that's why you have Stafford.
We also know what the Jimmy Garoppolo Adams thing
great
looks
chemistry,
like,
right?
Yeah, but I love how you can refer to it as it was a dark time in all of our lives. Like, buddy, I think it was a dark time in your life. Yeah.
You know, it's on camera, right?
Yeah,
you know, it was recorded.
Netflix was involved. That's a pretty big program.
No, it's. this offense, because they don't get explosive runs, they don't get it needs explosive passes. Otherwise, it's just gonna feel tight, and it's gonna feel like the Chiefs, where it's just 4 yard gains, 4 yard gains, 3 yard gains. So that's why you need Stafford's arm. It's like, I know some people think us that rate Stafford highly, like really that high. It's like, well, you got to see what he has to do. Yeah. You got to see what he opens up for the offense. That's why there's so much respect for him. And I know there's a lot of discussion about quarterbacks handling the offense and all the communication. Stafford does that as well. So that's just another thing. All right, we're going to take our last break, and then we're going to come back with our last biggest gamble the NFL teams are taking this season. All right, we are back. Football 301. We got our last big gamble. Charles, going with you. What's your last big gamble NFL teams taking this year?
I would like to take this time to let this topic be a moratorium on the 2025 Indianapolis Colts.
Yes. Nice talking about them.
There's nothing to say about them after this podcast. They have made an indefensible decision that will nuke the watchability so of their team. And not even watch, just interest. Like, I don't, whatever.
I'll see you guys in week 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check in.
But
week 1 of 2026.
we saw this so, because we were talking about this in the summer. Why is a team that's trying to figure out what is going on with their quarterback letting two of the better interior offensive linemen in the NFL walk? And I know Ryan Kelly and Anthony Richardson had their differences last year. Yep. But if you want to if you want to fix that and you're the GM, you can. It's money. That fixes a lot of issues. Will Freeze, he was a 7th round pick that developed into a player that was worth a 5-year, $88 million contract with the Vikings. That's someone you tried to keep.
Yep.
Homegrown 7th round picks that turned into a plus starter. That's so rare. Yep. You let him go. And we saw the ramifications of that, what, 4 plays into the preseason, where Anthony Richardson broke his finger, and people were like, hey, you know, he didn't notice that. Okay, but the center could do something. Center
could do something.
And you know, a center that's played for a decade usually will fix that.
Correct.
And he ended up getting hurt, and you know, the rest is history. So is it to say if Ryan Kelly and Freeze were here, would Anthony Richardson have played better? You don't know that for sure.
It helps.
We've had a better chance.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So it just kind of goes back to the whole thing where they never seem to be actually fully bought in on trying to develop Anthony Richardson. And there's probably a chance that maybe he never figures it out. But to come into the season and a gotta have it season with this as your situation, like, you weren't actually that serious about this. And now Daniel Jones is a starter, and they're gonna pill around and probably win 4 or 5 games, and everyone but Chris Ballard's gonna get fired again.
This is what you said they weren't serious about it, and this is what's kind of always stuck in the back of my head. As I talked about Anthony, I was like, oh, you know, interested in the Colts. I'm looking at how preseason's going. But this, and once they went with Daniel Jones, this is what stuck in my head this entire time since March when they signed Daniel Jones. Every national reporter that talks to people said, I think it's Daniel Jones' job to lose.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson was blown up in camp. Still think it's Daniel Jones' job. And it's like, all right, well, it's Daniel Jones' job. That's in my head. I actually, if I were to bet on this, it was like the whole time was like, they're going to go with Jones. Like Michael Silver from The Athletic is not going to report that.
Right.
Albert Breer last week is not going to report that. He, even after all the hoopla with Anthony Richardson, like how he was doing, I know then it became bad because of the sack he took. They would not go, yeah, I still think it's Jones' job to lose. They don't report that stuff unless they feel good about it. So to me, like you said, they weren't serious about it. They weren't.
No.
The whole time it was Daniel Jones, which I get it, but it was just, don't say it's a competition when you knew this whole time. And Jones is missing 3 wide open throws in the last preseason game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even Daniel Jones needs help because he's not very good.
No,
right. He's not. Right. So you're going to throw Daniel Jones behind a bat off him. I've watched that for 4 years.
Yeah.
And that was when Daniel Jones, before the knees got torn up, when he could actually still run.
Yeah.
This is the diminished version of that. I don't get it at all.
I know. We haven't even talked about that on the show, too. Like, Matt, how do you even think Jones affects? We talked about the Colts receivers 100 times. But like, Jones doesn't push the ball. So no. Pierce doesn't feel as weaponized.
Pierce, it's over. I mean, like AD Mitchell, it's probably over.
I mean, yay Downs. Like,
I guess. I mean, listen, as a big Josh Downs bro, I'm not trying to like say, man, look what he did with Wandale Robinson. Like, you're PPR scamming in fantasy That's what you're hoping. But then you also got like a first round tight end in the mix, and you also got Michael Pittman, who's on a big extension in the mix. And like, I think, I don't know, the Jones thing is the Richardson thing is tough for me because the best way to have this not happen is to be a professional and like play better. Like you could have he could have prevented all this happening, but the thing with that, that I'm stuck on too, is just the moment they signed Daniel Jones, my first thought was, okay, tell me how this doesn't end with both these guys get starts and like everybody gets fired at the end of the year. And that's then now like we're in August. That was March. That's exactly how
Jones
I feel.
Blows up. It's a 1 year deal. So now you're costing yourself.
And he's not, the thing is, he's not.
He's not going to. I'm just saying. But I'm saying in this, again, we talk about Falcons, talk about Washington. It's like this narrative that these teams sell each other. And I've been in these buildings. I get it. Like you go, like, this could happen. This could happen. I'm not liking the chances, but it's so even if it did work out, what was next year's plan? Or bring Jones back
and then $200 million
And then what do you do with Richardson? We're back at the same. So it's
and the funny thing is too that like, They're selling this. It was Shane Steichen is saying, you know, I go back and look at Danny Dimes' 2022 season, which 2022, long time ago at this point. But also that was very much, and he's like trying to overlap that into what they got out of Gardner Minshew, the Minshew minimum of that season, and just you left that year and let Gardner walk out of the building, and we're like, we got to get more than that. So that's the thing is if you
just RPO, that's right. All it was. Yeah.
And in that situation too, I come back to this with, again, with the receiver room and the first round tight end and all that, you're going to have like three guys that aren't happy. And these are all like talented players you should be trying to like
feed in the contract into. AD Mitchell. Right. You know, Michael Pittman's still trying to prove it. You know,
Pittman's a guy that you might have to trade at the end of the year or something like that, because he's not like most likely, like I said, three people, probably more like four people are going to come out of this not happy with their production. Same thing in the running game too. Like, I mean,
luckily Jonathan is a great guy, so maybe he'll be okay.
But I don't know. There was a little bit of frostiness there.
That's true. I'd be asking out if I was him. What is this?
God, get him on the Chiefs or something.
The Chiefs had a chance to do that themselves.
You're right. I know. Right on CH. Yeah.
It's someone who's going to miss Ryan Kelly and Will Freeze a lot. Jonathan Taylor. Like this. I don't know. Do they care about saving their jobs?
That's what I don't get.
This is also, it's tough to talk about, but Jim Irsay passed away. Like now his daughters are in control. It's a whole new power vacuum. And
she's been on the headsets for years. So she might just be like this whole, I'm waiting.
I'm at it.
Yeah. She's waiting. Like,
that's the thing with like, you'd say everybody with Chris Ballard will get fired just because Ballard has survived so much, but
he's going to figure it out, man. He's going to figure it out.
He definitely knows how to sell some stuff, but if I was him, I'd be like, I'm not feeling too confident. Like, they might just, the new ownership might decide, hey, like, no, we just need a full fresh start, which is frankly, I think, what is going to happen and what needs to happen.
They needed it. It was all or nothing. There's no half measures on this experiment. When you're investing not only a project quarterback, I liked Richardson as a prospect. I've always been a guy that's hold out hope for him. I had him in that class. I had Stroud as my number one guy. And my line was always, if it was my money I'm betting on Stroud. If it's somebody else's money, I'm betting Anthony Richardson. I was super high. I was like, I want to take him top 10 because that's just, you're committed. Like, that means you're in.
Yeah.
They went top 5. You're in. Like, there's no, like, Trey Lance in the 49ers is just this once in a life. Shanahan can get away with it because he's Shanahan.
They don't get away with that if they don't stumble onto Purdy.
Correct.
Like, nobody cares about Trey Lance at this point. Well, some people care about it. There's always going to be a couple reporters like, you see Trey Lance playing in the preseason, whatever.
Unlocking him.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody cares about that ultimately in the building anymore because, you found a quarterback, but this team didn't find a quarterback.
I know.
Like, and Daniel Jones is not going to be the solution there. So let me ask you, Nate, as an Anthony Richardson bro, like, where do you want to see him go?
Oh, man.
Or maybe I shouldn't say an Anthony Richardson bro.
L.A.? I want every quarterback to go to the Rams. Like, so like he's one, like I would actually love that. And also just a lot of reasons, narrative wise. I mean, not narrative wise, but timeline wise, youth wise, that system, and I also think McVay has always just kept an eye on, he wants that running quarterback. He's just kind of, he can't go all the way in it, but he's just kind of keeping an eye on that.
The John Wolford experiment.
Yes. And what's his face? The guy that just won UFL MVP. Bryce
Perkins.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he had a little, they had that little weird offense run in that one year when Brandon Staley became the hottest defensive coordinator in the NFL. So that's one that just comes to mind. But I mean, I know people say Minnesota, it's like, well, they have a second year quarterback. They would never do that in a million years because you got to think about the room, which is also another thing with this Colts team. You brought in Gardner Minshew, Garner, but he's not there to help a young player grow. Garner's about Garner. And then they bring in Joe Flacco as the backup.
Historically not.
Think of all the guys that were project-y guys, like Carson Palmer. We had John Kitna. You know, obviously he sat the year and everything. Jordan Love. I know Rodgers is Rodgers, but Rodgers was helping.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff. And it was several years before he had to play. Andrew Luck had freaking Matt Hasselbeck as his backup. That's amazing guy to just go back to and go, hey, what'd you think on that one? Like,
I mean, Bryce Young has Andy Dalton.
Yeah. You know? Like backup quarterback is the center and the backup quarterback are as important as the coaches, I think, to me, to a
just be a good hang and help out the young guy. That's it. Like, that's all you got to do. To me, with Richardson, also like his agent coming out and like saying, you know, there's a fraying of trust. They did that
in March, man.
I don't think the agent needs to come out and do that. I think it looks a little stupid, quite frankly. Like the self-awareness is not great there. But that to me also speaks to like, this is a guy that could be out of
unless you're Drew Rosenhaus, agents and Margolotta, just stay on the low key.
So I was about to say, CJ Stroud getting drafted was the best thing for Davis Mills' career because he gets to not play and just be around.
Gets to be the good hang.
He has contract extensions now.
It's such a great point, though. No, yeah, the good hang is a very important part. I mean, shoot, look what the Bears are doing. All right, Matt, we're going to move on to yours now. What is your next biggest gamble that the NFL teams are taking this year?
Yeah, and this is another one that I'm conflicted on how I feel about it, but just like the Giants bringing back the whole crew from last year. I still think that was not only that, like they bring back the whole crew from last year, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, all the decision makers, Mike Kafka, and this weird, like, hey, who's calling plays? Who's not calling plays situation. But then also kind of going stars and scrubs on the offense. Like when you do a salary cap draft in fantasy and just like, I'm just stacking the top and figure the rest out later. When I look at the Giants offense and defense, that's how I feel about it. On offense, it's like, well, we got Malik Nabers and Andrew Thomas plays, and that's pretty much it. That's good enough, right? And then you look on defense, like, well, look at that defensive line. Don't look back there at that secondary, but do look at that defensive line. Don't look at the linebackers, any of that. But so they've got this kind of imbalanced roster in a way, which I always feel like that leaves you in kind of the volatile zone as a team. So could go one way, could go the other. And to me, you take Jackson Dart, and Jackson Dart looks great in the preseason. Everybody, I've heard. I don't know if you guys have heard, but
there's calls for him to start week one.
There's calls. And also you've got Brian Daboll and like just making the googly eyes at him. He's obsessed. He talk about confidence and feels like the way the Falcons are about Penix, like, yeah, nobody knows what we got in here. That is what Brian Daboll is giving off, that energy.
These Giants fans got to see it.
Right. Imagine if you're a Falcons fan and he's coming off that type of preseason, you'd be feeling pretty good right now. Well, not good. good adjacent.
Yeah, Reedfield.
But yeah, like you've got this weird push and pull now with how long is Russ going to be there? You can tell they just are dying. I don't care what Brian Daboll says, you give him like a little bit of truth serum, you know he's sitting there thinking like, yeah, I'm installing this game plan for Russell Wilson, but what I'd really rather be doing is coming up with those Ole Miss, you know, RPOs,
money plays,
you know, the go routes and all that. And I don't really have a strong take on how I feel like this is going to work out for them, but I can tell you that if it doesn't work out, that's a big gamble, because then they'll fire the coaching staff, they'll fire the GM. I'm not even sure you should have brought these guys back anyways. And then does anybody else have this feeling about Jackson Dart that Brian Daboll has? I guess we'll find out. You could be in that weird zone of we're constantly not on the same timeline between coach and quarterback, and maybe you end up fire the GM, but you keep Brian around because you've got this thing. I don't know. It's just that stuff can get messy pretty quickly.
Yeah, we have recent examples. Even Chicago, what they did with Fields.
Nagy Chicago
and
loves
Paces last year, and then they just went out.
Yeah.
All right. And then we got Fields now. All right. And then the new staff was like, oh, no. So, yeah. Justifiably, as it turned out. But yeah. No. How are you feeling about the Giants right now? Like, I mean, just even Dart's preseason persuade you at all?
Not really. No.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine.
It's kind of what I expected. He's fun. Like, yeah. He's tough as hell. He stands in there.
He's going to be fun to watch.
It was a very manicured preseason.
He already did.
Yeah, he did. I know.
Yeah.
Well, that was a concern of him coming out. It was that he is tough. Like, he is. Yeah. And he's competitive. As I think that's why Daboll and Joe Shane won't, you know, shut up about him.
Yeah.
Is that he's so competitive. It's palpable. But it's also like, got to be realistic. Mm-hmm. NFL defenders, a little bigger, you know, that's going to hurt a little bit more. And so don't lower the shoulder. I appreciate the competitiveness, but also you got a long career, hopefully.
We're talking about screens, go balls. I remember a quarterback draw on the first drive of his the game against the Bills they played in preseason week one. I mean, it's good to that he like physically shows he belongs in the NFL. But to say that you could take any sort of long-term process out of what you saw. No, you can't.
No, it's like that,
it was designer plays, go balls, screens. Cool. You like he threw it accurately.
The most common play was like an RPO all hitches. So it was like he read the run play and then threw a hitch to the boundary guy.
It's like that's Lane Kiffin stuff.
That's pick six in the end.
Yes.
Against ones. You're doing it to help your young guy in the preseason, but like that's out in the regular season.
Right.
Yeah, I know. So I get what you mean here. Yeah.
It's just not gonna be that easy. So yeah, it's a good start, but I can't say with any confidence that raise or boost the stock.
I think they should. For me, it was like, no, stick with your plan. Like you're playing Russ. You want to also evaluate your other guys too, and just make sure. Okay, this. I mean, you just mentioned how many question marks they have, stars and scrubs. All right, is Theo Johnson real? Is other guys
Tyler
real?
Tracy, can he take a step forward? Like they do have some interesting on offense. Well, at least they have some interesting young players.
Because Dart's gonna be chaotic, which is when a chaotic quarterback, even his best plays last night. We're recording this on Friday. It wasn't in structure. It was, you know, so that's up and down play. And that's why I think we're a little hesitant and going like, oh, he looks great. Cause it's like, well, some of those plays didn't feel real to me. The touchdown was real, but then he threw it behind. You know, the most impressive play was one he threw an over, I think it was, and he got absolutely smoked and hit the guy in the hands. And again, he's getting hit cause he's a hitch late, but then the placement's good. So it's always just, I'm like, butting a lot of Dart. Yeah. To me, when I'm butting a guy, I'm like, I'll just wait. I'm just gonna wait.
I think there's just two, and I say this as somebody that creates content. There's too many content creators out there right now. Like we all agreed four years ago
in Las Vegas.
Yeah, glad we get to do this. But there's just too much right now. Like we all agreed 4 years ago, even 3 years ago. Preseason doesn't matter. Like you don't take anything seriously you see in the preseason, and then. Now we are overreacting a little bit to the preseason.
There's an imbalance in the force. There's too many young quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
so a lot of everyone's teams are going through this right now.
Everybody, that could be like the theme of what we've talked about. Yeah. There's a lot of confidence in all these, and because young quarterbacks breed hope.
If this was year one of a new regime, looking pretty good. This is year four, though. You know,
I agree. I'm right there with you. Yeah, and Dable just seems like he's hyping them up. He's like talking out just. Giddy about every time, and it's one of these things. Well, his whole job security relies on Dart. So of course he wants to tell all of us it's going great. It looks amazing too. All right, I'll wrap it up with my last biggest gamble, and this is this guy was in New York last year, but mine is the Steelers, and it's Rodgers will get us right. Part duh, like we're doing this again. Rodgers is this team that should have a good run game and should have a good stout defense that's tough with some vets. And then Rodgers is going to get it right because we've had such bad quarterback play, right? I think that's a gamble.
Yeah.
Didn't look good last year. Didn't understand. It was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league against blitzes. It was not this hyper-efficient self. Even when he got his buddy, Davante Adams, it kind of just was still a little disjointed. Felt like some of the ball placement stuff wasn't there. He still has a little juice on the arm. But again, he doesn't throw over the middle where Arthur Smith's offense is unlocked, is throwing over the middle because he doesn't want to throw a pick. He's a stat watcher. So that's my biggest gamble. It's like, and having said all that, I'm still fairly optimistic on the Steelers as maybe a wild card team because of their defense, because of that run game.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I am even saying that Rodgers can do enough, but it's like, is enough enough? I think that's a gamble. Is he going to play all 17 games? Is he not going to be frustrating? Is he not going to, you know, take over the whole offense and do his signal stuff? And then it's like, snapping the play clock at 1 second, taking delay games. Him and Arthur Smith are fighting.
Right.
You know, like that's
him and DK Metcalf, like him weird and DK match.
Did you see him and DK bullying Cameron Hayward?
No, I didn't.
I don't know. I should watch the entire thing, but I watched like a good chunk of this video clip, and they're saying, and I think it was tongue in cheek. They're joking about it. But Rodgers and DK were saying it's not all about you and his money contract. And I think they were joking. But also one of these things where it's like, you two are saying that?
Right.
You two are saying that to Cam Hayward?
Yeah.
You know, so I think it was one of those things with his contract stuff. But yeah, Steelers think this is very risky, big gamble. I think you guys both agree.
The part that I was going to say is, you know, he said, I don't know if Aaron's going to be frustrated. I was like, I know one of two people is going to be pissed off this year, Arthur or Aaron.
Yep.
Because one of them is going to have to get their way. But unfortunately, Aaron's the one that's actually on the field with the ball.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes. But I mean, I can't from what the quarterback wants to do to what the offensive coordinator wants to do. I can't imagine a worse fit right now.
It's so bizarre.
Like this is the move you bank because he's the last guy left. And you needed someone. I don't think it works though. It's a really weird fit. Unless the offensive line balls out, Caleb Johnson, Jalen Warren go crazy, then you have a chance. But as it's constructed right now, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, you'd feel better if it wasn't this guy that wants to always control the offense and everything. I brought up the play clock stat a few weeks ago. Like, it was just like every the shortest time to snap the ball or the longest time to snap the ball has always been a Rodgers team. If you watch an Arthur Smith offense, motion, shift, motion, shift, under center.
Yeah.
A lot of personnel changes too.
Which, a lot of goofy stuff.
Takes time. The operation takes time. Aaron, when he's been his most comfortable, has been same personnel, 11, get it out there, spread it out. Let me see. Let me be the general, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's just maybe he eats his vegetables and he's like, I'm going to be a good soldier. Highly doubt it.
After 22 years, he's going to start today.
Again, what am I going to bet on?
Sometimes in football, we make it complicated. But, I mean, this is just like a life rule. When does it ever work out when it's just like you said, the last two people that need, like they're the last two people to find a partner at the dance. Like, when does that ever turn into a great love story? Probably never. I mean, it's just, there was one spot for Rodgers to go, and there was one thing for the Steelers to do at quarterback. Like, this, it was like a match made in hell. I don't know. Like, it had, but it had to happen.
Purgatory.
Yeah, match made in purgatory.
The unholy alliance.
And also to your point too, like, this is where I come back to the Steelers. You said, well, it's a team that should have a good run game. It's a team that should have a good defense. It's not like you're dropping Aaron Rodgers onto the 2024 Eagles.
No.
You know, it's an older defense that's relying on a lot of vets. And yeah, like Caleb Johnson, maybe he turns out to be good. He's a third round rookie running back. And Jalen Warren is a nice role player. And then you've got all these other like goofy Arthur Smith things going on in the offense. So to me, I think this is the year that Mike Tomlin finally has a losing record. It looks like it to me.
I think Cincy and Cleveland might save him.
Well, one of those things. I feel like Cincinnati could fall ass backwards into it.
I watched the Commanders' second string run offense go 4 for 45 and a touchdown.
That's right.
Shredded down.
I don't think Jaden Daniels stopped running on the first drive.
No.
He just every play, he was just moving forward into the next thing, and they celebrated the touchdown.
I found out Josh Johnson's still in the NFL.
Oh, my God, right?
When he comes out, and he looks like Tom Brady. He's the Bengals' starting defense.
No. Probably like his second stint in Washington too, I think.
Yeah, the Bengals were going to be one of mine. I was just like, I think we all know.
Yeah. You already lost the gamble. You already lost.
I remember the touchdown that Bill scored against the Bengals. You know, I wasn't really sure he was on the field because I wasn't paying attention. And then they showed like the end zone angle of the run. I was like, oh, there's Shamar Stewart. There's Jordan Battle. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is their starting defense.
There's that Demetrius Knight. Was it the linebacker?
Yes, got demolished.
The touchdown from Bill. Yeah, Bill's touchdown was hilarious. It was like two linebackers running into each other.
Shamar Stewart's six yards up the field on a damn counter. What are you doing?
A tight end taking out two guys. But John Bates.
Don't worry, guys. They got Lou Anarumo out of there, and he was just too mean to those young players.
So, and they got a guy
a guy who's coached in college. I don't know if you know.
Never coordinated a defense in college. Or in the pros. I'm sorry. He's only been assistant coach in the pros.
But he knows how to talk to young fellas because he was in college.
You know,
that's the narrative.
That's the narrative. Yeah. That's the narrative.
I think Al took the one NFL job that's worse than his old job.
I was just going to say, too. I can't imagine that being a big pay raise either.
No.
Notre Dame, D.C. to Bengals, D.C.?
No. Yeah, better players last year.
Did you see too? Sorry. I love how we're talking about Steelers and just went to Bengals talk too. Did you see too? Is that so? A woman, I should know her name, but she posted a video today about how the Bengals are going to have the Ring of Honor, and they're going to have all the people fly out there on the Ring of Honor who they're going to induct. They make them pay for the flights. On their own dime.
Well, I was about to ask that as a joke.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say the same thing. I was like, well, they probably are not paying for it.
And so, but the hotels, they don't put them up in the hotel. They give them a coupon to a local hotel.
Jesus.
Mike Brown. Mike, come on, man.
To a local hotel.
You're a billionaire, Mike. You live in Ohio.
Cincinnati Bengals, everybody.
I was going to say, Yahoo's nicer to us than...
No, seriously.
Bengals are. Thank you. Thank you. We like working here. At
Yahoo. I know. Better than Mike Brown. All right. We're closing it out today. Sorry, Bengals fans. We just can't help ourselves.
I'm not sorry. You don't have to do that to yourself.
Offense should be fun, though. We'll be back next week on Monday. We'll finish up our division previews. I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice on social media. That is Matt Harmon. You can find him at Matt_BYB. And that's Charles McDonald. You can find him at @4verts on social media. So much fun to do this in person here in Vegas. Subscribe to us, follow us, rate us 5 stars. Pretty please. Also watch us on YouTube on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. We would really appreciate if you liked and subscribed there as well. Thanks to the whole crew here in Vegas. You cannot see them, but they're doing a great job. This is a great setup. Thank you to the Venetian for hosting us. I'm very, very excited. We have a little happy hour Q&A some people are going to join us. That should be a lot of fun tonight.
You got your coupons for the.
I got my coupons. Yeah, you guys get your coupons for the Aria Nation.
Mike.
I think I have a free meal voucher to actually lose money when I buy something here. But no, thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for listening. See you guys next time.